Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 10, Text 8. And so, 11, 10, 8, I have to find it here. Okay. Vilakarshana stula sukshmat Deharat mikshita swadrit Yataknir dharunadhayad Dako anya pakashaka Vilakshana stula sukshmat Deharatmikshita swarik Yatagnir darunodhayat Dako anya prakashaka Vilakshana stula sukshmad Deharatmikshita swarik Yatagnir dharunodhayaj Dahako anya prakashaka Vilakshana, having different characteristics. Stula, from the gross. Sukshmat, and the subtle. Dehat, from the body. Atma, the spirit soul. Ikshita, the seer. Swadrit, self-enlightened. Yata, just as. Agnihi, fire. Daruna, from firewood. Dayat, from that which is to be born. Dahaka, that which borns. Anyaha, other. Prakashaka, that which illuminates. Translation, Joseph's fire, which burns and illuminates, is different from firewood, which is to be burned to give illumination. Similarly, the seer within the body, the self-enlightened spirit soul, is different from the material body, which is to be illuminated by consciousness. Thus, the spirit soul and the body possesses different characteristics and are separate entities, purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace. It is analytically demonstrated in this verse that one should never falsely identify the ego with the material body, and the ego means the self or the soul. Such misidentification is called the false ego or material illusion. The following question may be raised. Since it is commonly known that the Supreme Personality of Godhead enlightens the conditioned soul, why is the term swadrit or self-enlightened used in this verse? Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains that although the Supreme Personality of Godhead certainly furnishes consciousness to the living entity, the living entity, being endowed with the potency of the Lord, has himself the capacity to revive and expand his pure consciousness. He may therefore be considered in a secondary sense self-enlightened. The example may be given that that gold or silver domes brilliantly reflect the rays of the sun. Although the light comes from the sun, the inherent properties of gold and silver can also be considered causes for the brilliant reflection. Since other substances do not possess suitable properties to reflect the sun's light, similarly, the spirit soul can be considered swadrit or self-enlightened because he possesses characteristics by which he can brilliantly reflect the potency of the personality of God, thus eliminated his existential situation. Just as gold or silver dome shines due to its reflective properties. A nice example is given in this verse to illustrate the different characteristics of the body and the soul. Fire, which burns and illuminates, is always different from that which is burned or illuminated, supposedly, for illumination, sorry. It may be said, however, that fire is present in an unmanifest form within wood. Similarly, in the conditioned life of ignorance, the spirit soul is present, though unmanifest, within the body. The enlightened condition of the living entity can be compared to the act of a rising fire within wood. Just as fire quickly burns wood to ashes, similarly the spirit soul, when enlightened, burns to ashes the darkness of ignorance. We are conscious of the body. Therefore, it may be said that the body is illuminated by consciousness, which is the energy or symptom of the spirit soul. Identifying the body and soul as one is just as foolish as considering fire and wood to be the same. In both cases, the intimate circumstantial connection between fire and wood, or between the soul and the body, does not alter the fact that fire is different from wood, or that the soul is always different from the body. Om Gyana Tirmanisya Gyananjana Shalaka Sapsi Kamina Tasmai Shri Guru. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimati Satsarupa Dasa Gosvami Kanamaya Satsarupa Vidavandi Vedan Sarabhushanam Bhakti Granthanayakanam Bhakti Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimati Vakramanda Sankanamaya Avasya Saraswati Devi Gauravanta Chandra Vishesha Shindhavati Pashtipa. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Adaita Gadada Sri Vasudhi Gauravanta. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare. So this topic of the soul and body is one of the most fundamental topic in this material world. It is because of the misconception of this body and spirit, the whole world is bewildered. It's stated here, burn the force of ignorance with the fire of knowledge. See? So within this this voice here, Lord Krishna is explaining to Uddhava, he's touching upon the soul and the body. He's explaining that firewood which is within, fire which is within the wood, burns the wood to ashes. But fire is not the wood, nor the wood fire. Just like a rope is not a snake and a snake is not a rope. We're spirit soul, we're not the body. So the body is not the soul and the soul is not the body. See? So this misconception is bewildering the whole world. We can look at it. In the 8,400,000 species, 8 million species have no idea of the soul. If you say we see a lion in the forest, we say, "Brother lion, don't kill me. I'm your brother." See, he wouldn't understand. He would just gorge you up. See, or a tiger, or whatever. So, because of the bodily concept, this whole world is bewildered. And within the 400 species, the 400 human species is usually said, but that includes demigods and demons and so forth. Just a few are enlightened in this subject. For example, within the world now, there's like what? Over 7 billion people. A little over 2 billion are Christians. Most of them have hardly the concept of the soul. They have some idea, but not very much. Most of them feel either the body and the spirit is the same or cannot exist. Cannot exist separately. Dust to dust thou art and dust to dust thou shalt be. See? That's evidence within the Bible to actually say that you're the body. Dust to dust thou art, dust to dust thou shalt be. The Lord breathed the breath of life into man. See? So there's no conception of soul. See? So the world has at least 2 billion plus Christians, and most of them, almost all of them, don't have a clear concept of the soul. Most of them actually think that they're the body. See? Then we have maybe a little over 1.5 billion Muslims. Only Allah is eternal. That's the concept from the Quran. So if only Allah is eternal, then the living entities are not eternal. And their conception is very close to the concept of Christianity too. See? But we know within Buddhism, which is about 500 million or a little over, they have some conception of the soul. And Hinduism, maybe 1 billion, a little over 1 billion, they have some conception of the soul. The other minor religions and the atheists, well, for the atheists, there's no conception at all about the spirit soul. Other religions, very, very little. So this subject is very bewildering. And so basically most of the world, the whole world is almost in this bodily concept of life. And so we can analytically study the body and the spirit a little bit, because this is what this subject is about. See, the body and the spirit and how they are different. So within one of the Upanishads, it stated that there are 35 million hairs on your body. 35 million hairs of the body. See? That maybe if you want to test it out, we could travel. But it would be like you could say hair or hair nodes. See? 70,000. 7,000s are in the head. But in Kali Yuga, don't. At least about 50,000 are missing in some almost all. See? So that's it. Okay, so we'll analyze in the body a little bit. Of course we know we have 20 nails, touch, 2 teeth. 1,000 palates of flesh. 1,000 palates of flesh. Palates, you know, is a term used in ancient time to describe the thing. 100 palates of blood. According to scientists, roughly a 1.5 gallon drug within the body. See? 10 pallets of fat, 7 pallets of skin. The skin is about 16% of the body weight. 12 pallets of marrow, 3 pallets of platelets, 2 kurovals of sperms, 1 kurovals of eggs, 360 kurovals of bones, 50 pallets of bile, 25 pallets of mucus, and then the breath. Tens of millions of nadis. Everyone has a certain amount of breath within his lifetime. Some people might just have 2 breaths, like a baby is born, and then suddenly he dies. That's because of his karma in the breath. Some would have millions of breaths, so much breath, right? But that is depends on one's karma. And then it's stated, immeasurable ways. Depends on how much you eat. That's how much you draw out, is it? So this is a description of the body constituents. See? And then we know the body takes birth, grows, produces, remains for a while, dwindles, and then passes away. So then the Purana says, let him quit this dwelling composed of 5 elements, where the bones are the beams, which are held together by cord-like tendons, where the flesh and blood are the mortar, which is touched with the skin, which is foul-smelling, filled with urine and stool, infested by old age and sorrow, the seat of disease, harassed by pain, gloomed with passion, and very perishable. See? So that is the description of the body. The analytical description of the body through the scriptures. So that's why the scriptures is warning us constantly. Within the Uddhava Gita, the concept of the soul is not so explicitly explained. And I guess we can see because Uddhava was already an enlightened soul, and then he would be speaking to the sages in Bhagavata Ashram, and they're already enlightened, they're already aware of the position of the soul. So Lord Krishna does not in detail explain about the soul. He touches upon it. But in the Bhagavad Gita, he gives very precise and concise definition and explanation of the soul. No scripture in the world, no scripture has such a definitive explanation of the soul. See? And so we can consider that we are very, very fortunate. Right? And because I'm gonna read a little bit about the soul from the Bhagavad Gita. But before I go on to that, it's stated that there's 5 types of air within the body. It's stated the airs, having derived power from the soul, perform their own functions, affecting people just as the sun rises. So the airs are actually, the soul is actually suspended within the 5 airs in the heart. See? And so it's stated that the air derives power from the soul, right? And it's affecting people just as the sun rises. Then it's stated, Vyana air makes nourishment go all over the body and waste our force through the 12 gateways. You see, so this special air, it takes nourishment, like just like how we're saying that the blood takes oxygen from the heart to the body and takes polluted air to the heart, then to the lungs. But it's stated within the scripture also that the blood also takes consciousness from the soul and spreads it to the body. The blood takes consciousness from the soul and spreads it to the, throughout the body. So that is how the body is connected to the soul. The soul gives consciousness to the body. Without the soul, the body is completely useless, right? It's not even conscious. Okay, and there's some, a few other little quotes here. It's stated, from ignorance of oneself, the soul appears. From ignorance of oneself, sorry, the world appears. Think about it. By knowledge of oneself, the world disappears. In other words, we see the illusory concept of the world. It's not like how we would understand it if we're not enlightened. Like, for example, a good example is the scientists. They see nothing else but the world. They see nothing else but matter. For them, matter is everything. There's nothing like spirit. You see? Nothing like spirit. And right now, they're bewildering the whole world by that. See? So from ignorance of oneself, the world appears, and by knowledge of oneself, it disappears. Ignorance takes the rope for a snake, and knowledge makes the snake disappear. You see? So ignorance of the knowledge of the soul makes us quite aware of what is taking place in this material world. And it is because of this misconception, this gross misconception, we say, I am American, I am British, I am Russian, I am Brasileiro, I am Colombino, I am Mexican. See? Misconception. I am Hindu, I am Muslim, I am Buddhist, I am atheist, I am Christian, I am black, I am white, I am Indian, I am Chinese. And because of these misconceptions, there is so much conflict within the world. So much conflict. And this conflict can only be eradicated by understanding the commonality between all beings of this concept that we are all children of God, meant to go back to His eternal kingdom. And so, a proper perspective to even see the religions as different stage of elevation towards Godhood, rather than seeing, you know, but that's difficult. Just like we go into school, one is in the kindergarten, but he's not arguing with the one that in his high school that I know more than you, or I'm higher than you. See, or one is in high school does not argue with he that is in the university that he knows more than the other. So similarly, in religion should have this concept where you can definitely understand, well, Christianity is leading to God gradually, but the knowledge is not as high as that of Bhagavad Gita. Like that, you see? So if that understanding was there, then there would be so much more agreement within the world. See? In the world. So I will touch upon now, I've given you an analytical description of the body. So now we will go in details into the soul. See? I mean, we've studied it so many times, but because this subject is dealing with this primarily, I'll touch upon it. For the soul, there is never birth nor death, nor having once been does he ever cease to be. He is unborn, eternal, ever-existing, undying and primeval. He is not slain when the body is slain. That knowledge alone surpasses knowledge in all the other scriptures. For the soul, there is never birth nor death. Right away he's telling you, the soul is never born nor dead. Nor having once been, does he ever cease to be? He is unborn, eternal, ever existing, undying, and primeval. He is not slain when the body is slain. See? Then Lord Krishna gives more detailed explanation. Vasamsi jirnani yata vihaya navani gunati naru paran tata sharirani vihaya jirnani anyani samyati navani dehi. As a person puts on new clothes or garments, given up old ones, similarly the soul accepts new material bodies, given up the old and useless ones. So this is the verse about reincarnation. Clear. Other religions don't have that concept. The soul can never be cut into pieces by any weapon, nor can he be burned by fire, nor moistened by water, nor withered by the wind. Nainam chindanti shastrami nainam dahati prabhaka. Achadyo yam arayo yam akledyo shoshya evacha nitya sarvagata shanor achalo yam sanatana. This individual soul is unbreakable and insoluble and can be neither born nor dried. He is everlasting, all pervading, unchangeable, immovable, and eternally the same. Avyakto yam achintyo yam avikaryo yam uchyate tasmad evam vidivainam nanu choshitum arhasi. It is said that the soul is invisible, inconceivable, immutable, and unchangeable. Knowing this, you should not grieve for the body. So explicit. Jatasya hi dhruvam ratyur, dhruvam janma mritasya cha, tasmad upari harye rite, natvam sochitum arhasam. For one who has taken his birth, death is certain. And for one who is dead, birth is certain. Therefore, in the unavoidable discharge of your duty, you should not lament. See? Great verse for reincarnation again. Acharya vad pasyati kastid enam, acharya vad vedati tataiva chanya. Ascharya vak chinyam anya shrinuti sutvapi enam veda na chaiva kastit. Some look on the soul as amazing, some describe him as amazing, and some hear of him as amazing, while others, even after hearing about him, cannot understand him. And the last one, dehi nityam avadyoyam dehi sarvasya bharata tasmad sarvani bhutani natvam sochitum arhasi. O descendant of Bharat, he who dwells in the body is eternal and can never be slain. Therefore you need not grieve for any creature. So this is what you call explicit and concise definition of the soul. Because of false ego and the bodily concept of life, this knowledge is available to the whole world. It is available to the whole world. Yet, so many people refuse to study it. Like sometimes when I preach to Christians, I would tell them boldly, look, your Bible is elementary study. This Bhagavad Gita is what we usually say. This Bhagavad Gita is university studies. Just say that. You see? And if you doubt me, study it and then come back to me. See? So we can boldly and emphatically explain to the world that the spirit is different from the body and we are the spirit. The body only lasts for a short time, dwindles.
See, if our work is not finished here, if our work is not finished here, we come back in this body. Those that follow the Karmakanda section of the Vedas, fruitive workers, then there's so much tribulation on the path, because sometimes for the bad activities they have to see the hellish planets. And then for the good activities they would see the heavenly planets. And then after going through the hellish and the heavenly planet, they come back onto the earthly planet. Sometimes you have to go into the animal lives, plant lives, then eventually come back to human life. And then we can get a chance for self-realization again. So we have this special opportunity to enlighten the world, to take to this process of Krishna consciousness. See, by taking to this process of Krishna consciousness, they could shorten their misery in this miserable world and able to go back to the spiritual world. See, so understanding spirit and matter is very essential in our spiritual life. Otherwise, if we falsely identify the body, then we emphasize so much on the body. We place so much emphasis on the body. We'd be in the gym all the time, we'd be in the beauty saloon, the hair saloon, see, this, that, all the time. See? So we have this special opportunity here to of course enlighten ourselves and then help enlighten others. And let me see if I've touched upon many of the things. In terms of the wood being in the fire, and then the fire being in the wood, but it's not the fire, it's not the wood, and the wood is not the fire. Lord Krishna has just given us an analogy about the soul. The soul is in the body, but it's not the body, nor the body the soul. You see? So Lord Krishna has given us this analogy, and within the purport there is a little explanation. But the soul reflects the qualities of the Lord. And so sometimes, like in the Bible, I think it says, let your light shine so bright that the world may see and glorify thy Father. See, something like that. So as devotees, let our light shine like we are enlightened with Krishna consciousness. And the world may be amazed to take up to Krishna consciousness. So I'll stop here. Is there any comments, questions, or correction? Okay, Madam Mohan Prabhu.
Thank you for explaining the verse. And I was thinking in the Bhagavad Gita it says, the endeavoring transcendentalists can see this clearly, but those who aren't endeavoring transcendentalists, they can't understand what this is. So the process, if you can tell somebody this, but they can't understand it because their minds aren't developed, so that it's required that they chant Hare Krishna. And if they chant, then it's clear as day, what you're saying. But if they don't chant, they won't be able to understand it.
Definitely, definitely. Because the Lord, the heart is covered with so much of it that one cannot comprehend without knowledge and purification. So by chanting, one cleanses the heart of the avidya, of the ignorance. And when the ignorance is removed, then we're able to assimilate this knowledge easily and more clearly, more concisely. See? And so when we comprehend it in this way, see, then we enlighten ourselves and then we can enlighten others. You see? So the chanting is very, very important. Just like yesterday was Father's Day and my kids came over and I was explaining to them. I said without chanting the heart cannot be cleansed. And each one of you have to come to the point of chanting 16 rounds. It is fundamental. Otherwise you are wasting your time with everything else. And you could do it in 4 sessions. You could do it in 4. You do 4 rounds like a little early in the morning, 4 rounds a little later on, 4 rounds like in the evening, 4 early. All the kids should do this. I mean, for the adults, they need to do it in the morning. All the adults, all the devotees that are listening here, it's fundamental. See, that we try to do it and do it meaningfully with full concentration so we can get the full benefit. You see? And stay away from dissensions and conflicts. You know? To try to tell the world that Srila Prabhupada is the only guru is such a pain for Srila Prabhupada himself. You see? Because Srila Prabhupada would never say that. You know, to try to emphasize that no one needs to get a living acharya. It's such a pain to Srila Prabhupada and pain to the movement itself. And for those that are listening should think carefully, because every time we speak about this, then the conditioned living entities are looking for opportunities to get into sense gratification. Like when Narada is telling Vyas, you've written all these literatures, but you fail to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You see? By giving him Mahabharata and giving him all these other different things, you're giving them more opportunities for sense gratification. You see? So as soon as we minimize the position of the parampara in this system, then a lot of people, they wouldn't care for Guru anymore. So what if they, you know, I would follow Srila Prabhupada, I would chant my wrongs, you know, and they just take it haphazardly. See, but if you have a guru, he will tell you, you have to chant 16 rounds, you have to follow the 4 regulative principles, you have to preach. You know, but if you claim Prabhupada is your guru, well, of course, for Prabhupada disciple, we know that's there, and, you know, I mean, that's understood. They understood Prabhupada, you know, they've lived with Prabhupada and preached with Prabhupada, so they know. So there is no doubt about it. But I'm speaking about the second and third generation. You know, if they're told differently, then they become complacent and not want to follow seriously. See? And so we have to be very, very vigilant on this point. And for those that are propagating this misconception, then they should try to understand they're doing a great disservice to Prabhupada, to the movement. And Krishna would not like this. Any other point or correction? Srimad Bhagavatam ki.